All right, brethren, Isaiah 55. Let's read it one more time. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Well, we've come to the end of one year and the beginning of another. And it's good to start a new year. It's good to have a new start. It's good to think about new goals and new prospects for another year. But it's also good to think about the end of the last year. Because when we start thinking about the end of a year, it's a good reminder that there's coming a day when we will face the end. The end. There's coming a day when we will take the very last breath that we will ever take. There were a lot of people your age in this world and younger than you in this world who entered the day Friday looking forward to the new year, thinking about what all they would do in the new year, and they died Friday. There were people who woke up Saturday morning in the new year looking forward to what all they would do in the new year, who died Saturday morning. It's good to think about the end, because this life is short. It's very, very short. James 4:13. James said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Man that's born of a woman is a few days, just a few days, and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. You know, a flower comes forth, looks like it's going to be just vibrant, pretty, and before long is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow. Fleeth as a shadow. It's like watching those time-lapse videos. You know, just watch the shadow flee. Continueth not. But the end of the life is not the end. The end of this life is not the end. We will spend eternity somewhere. That rich man in hell had good things all his life. And he died and he went to hell. And he's in hell and he saw Abraham with Lazarus in his bosom. And he called unto Abraham and he said, send Lazarus back from the dead to my father's house. If he goes back to my father's house, right, rose from the dead, they'll believe. And Abraham said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they hear not the word of God. This word right here. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. This is the word. What does God say in his word? This is where we need to be given our time and our focus and our diligence into. What does the word of the Lord say? The word of the Lord says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. How so? Verse 6 there, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let's hear God's word. Back in verse 1, he says, ho, that means let me have your attention. That means give me your full focus, your full attention. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Is anybody thirsty? This is for young and old, believer, unbeliever. Anybody thirsty? Anybody thirsty? He says, come to the Lord Jesus. He's the fountain of living waters. If you're thirsty to be justified before God, thirsty to be righteous before God, thirsty to know you're accepted of God, that you're redeemed, that you have no sin, that God will receive you and keep you, and you don't have to be terrified to face death. You know that He's given you life. If you're thirsty for life, thirsty for righteousness, He says, come to Christ. He's the living waters. He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Christ is the fountain of living waters. Let's go over to Jeremiah. He's the fountain of living waters. Chapter 2, verse 13. He says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's the two evils. Christ is the fountain of living waters. He said, they forsook me, and they went to hew out cisterns that can hold no water. In John 4, we saw this not long ago. In John 4, our Lord was speaking to the woman at the well. And He spoke to her, and He said, if thou knewest, verse 10, John 4, 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. Living water. Look down at, He said there of that earthly water, verse 13, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. Whoever drinks of earthly water. But He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 7, verse 37, He stood there. They had that great feast, and they lit some candles and had some light. He tells them later, I'm the light. And then they poured out water down a rock. He tells them here, I'm the water. I'm the water. I'm the rock from whom the water comes. In verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here's what He means by coming to Him and drinking. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is this talking about, living water? Well, He talks here about wine. The living water's life. Christ is life. He's the life that we saw this morning, that eternal life. It speaks here of wine. It's the wine of Christ's sin atoning blood that rejoices the heart, that assures us in the heart that God will receive us. He speaks here of milk and bread. That's life, milk and bread. Christ is the milk of the Word. He's the Word who grows us and into whom we grow. He's the bread of life. He's life. All of these telling us, are you thirsty? Are you hungry? Are you wanting life, true life, spiritual life, eternal life? He says, come to me. Come to me. Come to Christ, where full provision for all you need is provided. That's what He's saying. Over in Isaiah 41, here's what the Lord said. Isaiah 41, listen to this. Lord's not keeping anything from anybody. He's saying, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, if you want to know Him, come to Him. Look at this, Isaiah 41, 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So here's the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord said. He says, ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. come to the waters. Now look at this next thing he says. He says, but now come empty. Come empty. Listen, verse 1. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Everything's going through the roof now, prices, you know, inflation, everything's going up, and groceries are a lot more expensive. If ShopRite announced, come here and get all the milk and the bread and all you want with no money, you couldn't get into place. This is everlasting life. Christ Jesus the Lord. He says, come to me. Don't come with money. Don't come with any price in your hand. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is by God's grace. That means salvation is freely given by God. It's grace. It's grace as opposed to works. It's grace. He says, come to me. Don't bring money. Come to me. It's freely given. Freely given. Coming to Christ, believing on Christ, is the exact opposite of trying to be saved by our works. It's coming and believing on Him. We're saved by faith. By His grace. That's what He's saying. When God chose His people, He chose us by grace. It wasn't based on anything in us. It was grace. And justification and redemption. Christ laid down His life by grace. By grace. He said in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Everything that God requires, God has provided in His Son. Everything. Christ is who God the Father requires. He's the righteousness of God. He's the life that God says we have to come in. We can't come any other way. Salvation's of the Lord. It's by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God says, he that hath no money, he has nothing, no payment. He can't make a payment. He has nothing with which to purchase this. He says, let him come without money and without price. Listen to Revelation 21:6. This is what Christ is declaring to us in our text. Same as in Revelation 21:6. Listen to this. He said unto me, it is done. When he's talked about the marriage feast, he said, all is ready, come and die. That's what he said. It is done. He did everything required to bring his people to God. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. That means I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the author and the finisher of faith. I am everything required, beginning to end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. We must come to Christ with no merit in ourselves. This was the problem the Pharisees were having. They thought they were worth saving. They thought they were worth saving. They didn't want to believe on Christ. They didn't want to enter in by Christ alone. They would not let go of their works. But they didn't want to hear that God saves only by grace. And He saves whom He will. Not based on any merit in it. They wasn't entering, but they didn't want to hear that message. If we come with anything, then Christ will not be our all. Whatever the thing is we're coming with, Christ will not be that to us. If it's wisdom, and we think it's our wisdom, and we think it's our learning, and our understanding, and we gave ourselves some knowledge, Christ won't be our wisdom. He got to be our wisdom. If we come and we think some aspect of something we've done contributes to our righteousness before God, Christ won't be all our righteousness. Any part of this salvation, Alpha to Omega, beginning to end, any part of it that we bring by something we've done or contributed or some co-effort we've worked out with God, Christ ceases to be all in whatever that thing is. He must be all. He must be all. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. I heard read this thing and heard it of a man that was at a festival. and a preacher, and one night somebody was there, and they were hawking their whatever it was they were selling their booth, you know, and trying to get people up to their price, you know. And the preacher said, "This is the difference between false religion and true religion." He said, "The false religion trying to get men up to their price, what it's going to cost you, what you got to pay, what you got to contribute. God's gospel is saying we must be brought down to His price, free grace. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling." When a sinner comes to Christ by faith, he finds everything is already paid in full. Everything is already paid in full. Redemption from the curse of the law, already accomplished by Christ. A full, perfect righteousness before God, already ready made. The robe is already ready made. Faith just, by faith, God just puts the robe on you. Sin completely purged and sin completely put away, washed away. Coming to Christ, the fountain, is just confessing to Him, "You did it all. You did it all. I'm accepted in You alone. No one else. Just You. He already did it." Years ago, there was a brother in the church, and that brother Henry took with him down to Mexico. He was a dentist. And they went down there, and he did some dental work on the brethren that were out in the jungles and places. And after he had worked on this one lady, pulled some teeth, giving her Novocaine, all this stuff, pulled her teeth, and he got finished, and she came over to where Brother Henry was, and she pulled out 3 pesos and tried to give him those 3 pesos. He said, we don't want your money. And he said, "I thought about how much money it costs for this man to go to college, how much money it costs to go down there to Mexico, all the labor involved, all the expenses involved, everything that was involved, the years and all this thing." And what she was trying to give him amounted to about 15 cents. He said, "We don't want it." Remember Joseph? Joseph had the storehouses full of grain, full, absolutely full. And his brothers came down there with a bag of almonds to try to give to Joseph, for Joseph to give them food, because they needed food to eat. Joseph said, "I don't want your almonds. I got all the storehouses. They're full. Come and eat." What are we going to bring to the Lord? What are you going to bring to Christ? Isn't that just a height of arrogancy and pride to think that we can bring something to Him who has provided unsearchable riches in Christ, and we're going to bring our 3 pesos to Him? Jesus paid it all the debt I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now here's a question. Verse 2. He says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" Now, I know that education is needful. I know that we need education. You think about the money we spend on college and the amount of time spent studying and to study those things. And they're needful. Those things are needful. They can help people, just like the dentist I was just talking about. They're needful. But God has provided His Word right here. He's provided His Word. He's provided us the gospel. This is where the hours and hours of diligent study should be right here. Do that. It needs to be done if you're going to have it to get on in the world. But this ought to be more than that. We're talking about life. We're talking about Christ passing by. We're talking about Him coming near. Call on Him while He's near. He's coming by. This is His Word. This is His Word. What if we spent to carry this gospel into the world like we do on a college education. This is what's important. This is the important thing, to hearken, to give ourselves to hear his gospel preached and to go to his word and read his word. Folks spend so much in the world and on all their toys and all the stuff they buying, and it's not going to satisfy. It's not. In a little while, it's going to get old and you're going to want a new toy. He's talking about everlasting life. He's talking about water of life. He's talking about bread from heaven. He's talking about that which is needful, the one thing that's needful, the one thing we got to have if we're going to face God and be accepted, Christ. People in religion are laboring and laboring and laboring, and they never get to rest because they just keep, they get the carrot dangled in front of them and the whip on their back, and they just can't ever rest. They've either not done enough, they just constantly, never rest. He said, laboring for that which will not satisfy, that which will not profit. Our Lord said, labor not for the meat which perisheth. That's not just earthly bread. That's not just earthly things. This body right here is going to perish. And if all our works and all our acceptance of God is what we've done with these hands, when this body dies, all those works are dying too. That's why we need one whose work is eternal, one who is eternal, one whose work is finished, one who says, God says, this is the one I'll receive. We can come in him. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Labor for that meat, he said, that endures to everlasting life. What does he mean, labor for it? Christ said, whenever my gospel's preached, he said, I'm gathering my people together, and I'm there in the midst, and I'm preaching the word. Isn't that what he said? He told his disciples, he that receives you receives me. He that heareth you heareth me. I'd get under the gospel every time the doors open, and I'd hear the gospel preached, and I'd hang on every word. I'd hang on the word far, far more keenly than I would even a college professor. And then I'd go to the word and I'd read the word and I'd see in the word, is this so? Is this true? Is this so? And I wouldn't depend on myself to be able to understand it. I'd go to the throne of grace and ask God, Lord, give me an understanding. Teach me. I can't see. I need to know. Cast yourself on his mercy. This is what he's telling us to do. Come to me, he said. I'll give you. Knock. I'll open. That's what he says. Listen. That's exactly what he says. Listen to this. Verse 2. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Come to God through the ear. Incline your ear unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. What's he talking about? The Lord said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is just how God pleased to do it. Faith's going to come by hearing. Well, you can't tell preachers to or tell sinners to dead sinners to hear. Well, that's what God said do. God said, go to this valley of dry bones where it's just dry, parched, dead bones. That he's describing those he's calling out. He said, go to them and declare, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. He says, tell them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's what he's saying in our text. Hear the word of the Lord. And you and I who believe, do you not get dry? Oh, I get dry. I need to hear the word of the Lord. I have to hear his word to give me water. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye dry bones. And what's he going to do? Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. That's what God said he'll do. He said, I'll send my spirit, and you shall live. You shall live. If we do anything this book tells us to do, God's going to get the glory. He's the one that gave us the heart to do any of it, the will to do anything in this book. But you don't know that. You don't know that when he's working, do you? You find that out once he's worked in you and brought you to him, and even in our trials as believers, we don't know what he's doing till he brought you again to him, and then you see, I see. But he said, "Come to me." He said, "Come to me. Come and hear, and your soul shall live." So that's what I'm trying to declare this morning. I'm saying our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything that God requires. He went to that cross and laid down his life and shed his precious blood and perfectly, completely, eternally redeemed a host that no man can number that God the Father gave him. He did that. And now he's risen and he's at the right hand of God and he's sending his gospel forth. And this is what Christ is saying. This is what Christ is saying. May God make us hear him. This is what he's saying. He's saying, hearken diligently unto me. That's what Christ is saying. Is it possible for us not to do that if we've already hearkened to him and believe him? The Ephesians left their first love. They were doing a bunch of works. They were going through the motions, but they had left their first love. They had left Christ. They had left him. They weren't just, he wasn't everything to them anymore. They got lukewarm. He says, come to me, come to me. He doesn't ever stop telling us, come to me. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Don't just come to him. Come to him and eat. Come to him and believe. Come to him and feast upon his broken body and shed blood. Come to him and believe on him. That's what he's saying. Cast all your care on him. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let your soul. This is the let we need to be talked about. It's not letting God do something. God's going to do what God's going to do. But if we don't come and our soul be delighted in Christ only, it's only because we're not letting our soul do it. In other words, if we come, it's because God draws us and God gets the glory. If we don't, it's our own fault. But he says, come, let your soul, this is food for the soul, this is food for the spirit. He said, come, let your soul delight itself in fatness, in fatness. Those that come, thirsty, empty, believe in Christ alone, this is God's promise, verse 3. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Christ is that covenant. He is that covenant. And because of his finished work, all these covenant promises are sure to us. What's he promised? Let's go, let me see here, Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3. Hold on. Jeremiah 32, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 32. At. Let me read it to you. Maybe y'all know where it's at. I can't find it. I wrote it down wrong. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Here, I know where we can find it. Let's go to Hebrews 8. go over there and read it. Here it is right here. Verse 8. Jeremiah 31, that's what it was. Jeremiah 31. Here it is, though, right here in verse 8. Hebrews 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Here's what he means by that. When he writes his word in our heart, he says, They shall all know me. They'll know me from the least to the greatest, because I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Will I remember no more. That old covenant, he said at that time, was already made old, and it was waxing away. It was all the old covenant works and everything was going by the wayside because it was done with. But he said, this is the new covenant. This is the new covenant I'll make with you. He said, when I put my gospel in your heart, when my spirit starts bearing witness with your spirit, you're going to understand my word. You're going to know my word. You're going to believe me. You're going to hear me. You're going to believe me. When you know me, you're going to see I'm your God and you're my people. You're going to have an unction from the Holy One, and you're going to know all things because you're going to know Christ. And when you know Christ, you're going to realize that in Christ, God promises, Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. And Christ promises this. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Never forsake you. He keeps coming. He keeps teaching us this. We get to hearing all the voices and everybody's talking, and we get to going after this and that and the other thing. And Christ comes and he speaks again and he says, Come to me. Come to me. And he draws you to it and he says, Now sit down and listen. And he teaches you in your heart that he's your all. That he's your all. He's your all. And he says to us, These promises are all yes and amen in him. They're fulfilled in him, in him, in him. This was David's salvation. This was David's hope. Right there at the end, when David had gone through his whole life, he said, he summed the whole thing up with these words right here. He said, Although my house be not so with God, it's not so in Israel. Look around the kingdom. It's not this way in the kingdom. He said, Yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. That means he dotted every I and he crossed every T in this covenant. We're about to drink this wine. He said, This is to remember the New Testament in my blood. Ordered in all things and sure, because it's on Christ that foundation. He finished the work. Finished the work. And he said, This is all my salvation. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Christ. He said, And this is all my desire. Christ. Though he's not making it to grow, I'm about to leave. I'm about to die. It's about to be that not only the end of the year for me, it's about to be the end of my life, David said. He said, But this is my salvation. This is my desire right here. To be with Christ. God says, Come ye to the waters. Come to Christ, the fountain of living water. Come without money. Come without price. How do I do that? He said, Incline your ear. Hear my word. Hear my preaching. Hear my gospel. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live. Come and eat. Come and believe. Trust him. Cast it all on him. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Man, I'll tell you what. When he does this, he keeps renewing this promise to you, keeps showing you this over and over and over. whatever you can face a new year saying, whatever it beholds, whatever it holds, I know he's holding it. And he's holding me. And he's made his promise. And this is all my salvation. I'm in his hand. In his hand. I want you to get an education. I want you to have good things and enjoy life and what have you. Give yourself to this gospel, to hear Christ speak. Seek him diligently. This is the end right here. This, you got a week left. Seek him diligently. He says you'll find him. You search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. All right, let's remember him. Brother Ravi, Brother Adam.